your courts. Better is a one day in your house. Better is a one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is a one day in your courts. Better is a one day in your house. Better is a one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. Gonna lift our voice in victory. Gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. Gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day than thousands elsewhere. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Savior. Oh, hallelujah. You're worthy, God. What an awesome God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Worship with us as we sing. Worship the King. Worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. And when we seek His face, His glory fills this place as we worship the King. Worship the King. Worship the King. We are in His presence, find His name. And when we seek His face, His glory fills this place as we worship the King. Worship the King. Worship. worship the King. Worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. And when we seek His face, His glory fills this place as we worship the King. Worship the King. Worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. And when we seek His face, His glory fills this place as we were.
One more time.
Worship the King.
One more time. Worship the King.
Worship the King. Worship the King. We are in His presence to magnify His name. And when we seek His face, His glory fills this place as we worship the King.
I wonder if we could do that right now. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. As Sister Kristen gets ready to come and sing, if I could have Brother Brent come and give me a hand receiving our tithe and offering. Brother Chad, if you could as well give him a hand. I do have a few announcements. Youth Night is September 19th. Also, Taste of Missions. September 21st, that's this coming Sunday. If you would like to help in any way, in any manner, helping set up tables, things like that, Brother Josh, if you'll get with him and he can assign you to different things. We will be setting up some tables tonight over here in this back corner. And if you want to help set up tables or move some chairs out of the way, we'll be having tables like we do normally with the booths on the back wall. And so if you would like to help in that, that'd be great. So Taste of Missions is coming up. Amen. This coming Sunday, Brother Main will be speaking. Also, our College and Career Night, September 26th. Praise in the Park, 2 p.m. Festival Park, the 28th of September. And our fair is coming up. Sister Nina is going to be having a form. Correct? Getting with Sister Cassie still? Awesome. And it'll probably, maybe this Sunday, we'll have a form out there for you to sign up. If you'd like to work the fair, it'll be job slots. And so you just fill out your name and a time that you would like to serve. And that'll be a blessing, amen, to your church. Brother Brent, would you pray over our offering? Amen. March and give as you do greet one another in Jesus' name.
Moments of fear through every pain, every tear. There's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone and my heart had no song, still in love He proved faithful to me. Every word He has promised is true, and what I thought was impossible, I've seen my God do. He's been His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, but He's been
Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good to us tonight? Amen. Isn't the Lord good to us? Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. We're so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ, how I don't have to worry. The blood's been applied. Amen. And we were talking last night, Brother Schubert, Sister Schubert, and Sister Crosswhite and I, and somebody made a statement. They said something about the past, about something they did in the past, and a person doubted the work of Calvary, that the Lord forgave them of their sins. And they slipped up and they backslid. And they came back to God. And they felt like if you backslid, that what you did way back, that it was brought back up and put on your head again. And they was having trouble coming back to God. And Brother Schubert made a statement. He said, I'm thankful that God removes our transgression as far as the east is from the west. And God forgives us. Are you thankful that Jesus still washes our sins away? Amen. The man that I used to be, amen, He forgives me. And we're thankful that the Lord gives us power to live and power to walk forward, amen, in His kingdom. It's a joy tonight to know a risen Savior, a God that cares about our lives and who's faithful to us. Amen. We're looking forward to what God's going to do. Amen. I want to welcome everybody in the house of the Lord. Amen. It looks a little different in here tonight. Amen. We're trying to get everybody together. Got some scattered in the back over there. Amen. There won't be any chairs there no more back here, Brother Jerry. Amen. We got to get everybody together. Everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. We want our church to be together. Amen. And we're ready for revival. We're ready for the things of God. Amen. And I want your help. Amen. To get in these services and worship like it's your best. Amen. Give God your best. Amen. God don't deserve the rest. He deserves the best. Amen. So we need your help and everybody. Amen. Brother Maine will be with us Sunday morning and Sunday night. Amen. And I want the Lord to minister. I want the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, to be in this place. Come early for prayer. Amen. In every service. Amen. Let's get to the basics with Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. We're blessed today. Amen. Where you at, Sister Coley? I want Sister Coley to come testify tonight. Amen. Don't be afraid. Come up here. Amen. Praise God. I want her to come and testify tonight. Amen. And there's something that we need to hear as God's people.
Well, I had notes on my phone, but my phone decided to die. So, bear with me. But today I was talking to Sister C about just some stuff that's been going through my mind. And, well, we just went to Vicksburg for a youth rally. And there was just a lot that I feel like the Lord was opening my eyes to. And I think Sister C says it all the time. We need to fight intentionally. And I think we get so lulled by life, just everything going on, that, you know, we forget. This is a battle, and we are not fighting like we should. And I know I'm speaking for me personally. There's many things I could be doing that I just kind of forget to do, just don't realize. And I think it's just our generation, we, you know, forget. But one thing I was talking about with her is I have a messy room, and it's kind of bad. But I don't know if y'all have ever heard, however you keep house is how you are spiritually. So I was really thinking about that, and I was like, okay, well, I do this thing where I let my room get really messy, then I get extremely overwhelmed, and I do a huge clean out, and then I rearrange my room, get everything good, and then I'm good for a while, then it slowly starts, you know, getting bad again. And I was like, oh, wow, I do that spiritually. I get so, like, do this huge clean out, and I get good, and I get great. It's probably after a youth rally or something like that. And then I keep doing good, and then it's like I slowly start. But, you know, I'm tired, so I just don't want to read my Bible this morning just because, you know, it's early, and I really don't want to. I will in the morning, though. I won't forget. And then it's just slowly you start getting to that point. And I'm like, I'm done. I refuse. I don't want to anymore. Because then as you slowly start getting to that point, then it gives the enemy a lot of foothold to take, just to take control in your life. And in this hour, we've got to, and I'm speaking purely from myself here, we've got to get up and fight, because we don't have, first of all, we don't have much time. And I'm not one, I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I know it's soon. And we don't have much time, and we've had to watch a lot of fighters fall. And we have had to see a lot of people walk away, some intentionally, some not. A lot of different situations and scenarios. But it's really easy to have a generation of people that say, well, they'll do it because, you know, they're good at it. But I want to take this on because this is my battle. Because this is my church. This is my spiritual life. And I refuse to let the enemy have any more foothold. So, and I was talking to her also about doom scrolling. I don't know about y'all, but I sometimes get lost in just scrolling mindlessly because it distracts you. And it, you know, life is crazy. My mind goes crazy all the time. And it's very easy. You know, you just sit down and you just scroll. And it's like, wow, I'm good. This is nice. And then when you get done, though, it's worse than it was before. And then your mind is going crazier than it was before. And I think it just goes along with not fighting intentionally anymore. Then it's gotten to a point where I would rather be distracted than get up and fight. So I don't know. I just was really hit hard with that. Just, this is my battle, and I'm not fighting it the way I know I could or should. So, yeah.
Praise God. We got to take responsibility for us. Amen. A lot of times we think, well, I'll slip in, slide in, and let somebody else do the praying. No, no, no. Amen. It's all of our part. Well, we got to pray together. Amen. We got to run this race together. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Amen. Look at your brother and sister and say, hey, we need you. Amen. Hallelujah. And this hour we're in. Amen. We're living perilous times. Perilous times. Amen. Things are crazy. Mindsets are crazy. And somebody said, oh, man, we're trying to get a grip on it. I'm telling you, the more you try to get a grip, the more those that are this way, we're going to fight back. Our generation is fighting back. Those that are opposing what's right, they're fighting back. We just seen this last week, how people are retaliating. They don't want anything right. They don't want anybody to tell them even there's a better way and the old path is still the right way. But I'm thankful tonight that, hey, amen. We're going to plant our feet. We're going to let God be God. We're going to live for God. Amen. And I've always heard we haven't seen, amen, a generation that rises up in America, rises up against the Bible. But we have a generation that's trying to rise up. Amen. But there is a group of people, they tell me, young people today, there's a generation that's rising up that is hungry for God, that don't want to be nonchalant. They want to be all the way for Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to see our young people. I want to see our church, not just young people. Amen. I want to see everybody get that vision. Amen. And say, hey, we're going to be all we can be for Jesus Christ. Amen. Not everybody's wrong. Not everybody's going to hell. Amen. But we're thankful tonight that we're on the winning side. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're grateful today, amen, for the blessings of the Lord. Be in prayer. Sister C and I will be leaving, amen, 3 o'clock this morning. Tomorrow morning, we'll be headed to the airport, leaving out, amen. And we're so thankful, amen, for an opportunity to catch a new breath, amen, and to hold my bride's hand, give her some time, give her some opportunity. Amen. And she well deserves that. 36 years of marriage to me. My. Amen. Praise God. We're just blessed tonight to be in the house of the Lord. And we're going to talk to you tonight about a very important subject that this world's looking for, people are looking for, and they can't find it. If you have your Bibles, go to Philippians, the 4th chapter with me. If you would just stand and honor the word of the Lord. And Sister C, you going to come help me? Amen. Praise God. I appreciate my wife. Philippians, the 4th chapter tonight, and permit us to read this, chapter 4, verse 4 through 7 is where we want to go to tonight. And the scripture here says, rejoice in the Lord always. And it was something important about this because he said, and again, I say, rejoice. God wants his people to rejoice always. Let there be always in your itinerary rejoicing. Let your moderation be known unto some men. Everybody say all men. Then it says a reason behind that. The Lord is at hand. Okay. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Hey, we need to be considerate in everything. We need to go, don't just jump out there. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In verse 7 is where we want to look at. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through, somebody finish it, Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to talk to you about peace with God is the fruit of oneness with God. You can't have peace of God until you learn how to be one with God. How many believes in oneness? We believe there's one God, but God's got to be number one, and I got to get one and one with God. I can't make it without being one with God. And before my wife comes and make a few comments, You know, let's talk about peace just for a moment. Some people say money can't buy peace. But somebody else said, but it sure can buy some noise-canceling headphones. One person said, I tried to find peace and quiet in my home and my kids found me. Some of you mamas know what that means? And you know, and everybody wants peace of mind, but nobody wants to give God a piece of their time. I want to have God have my time. Is there in your budget of life a space for Jesus Christ? One man said, the world says find inner peace. And the Bible says find the Prince of Peace. One man said, I was going to buy a book on inner peace, but then I realized I already have it. It's called the Bible. Peace isn't when everything is calm around you. It's when everything is calm inside you. I want the peace that passes understanding. How about you? And what about this? This is something, a little funny story. A preacher was teaching kids about the Beatitudes, and he got to, the scripture said, blessed are the peacemakers. And he asked the class, now, who could tell me what a peacemaker is? One little boy raised his hands and said confidently, preacher, I know. A peacemaker is what my mom calls my dad's snoring machine. The preacher frowned and said, son, what do you mean? The little boy smiled and replied, well, every night dad is snoring so loud that mom takes a frying pan, makes a big piece of a noise, and then finally she gets her peace. Peacemaker. Amen. But I'm thankful that there's a real peacemaker in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sister Coe taught me a new word today. I had never heard the word doom scroll. Had y'all?
Doom scroll.
I had never heard that before, so it took me by surprise. And the more I think about it, Sister Coley, the more impacting it is to me. Doom scroll. I would hand any one of you here my phone. My phone lets you look at it. There's nothing on here on my phone that I'm ashamed to show you other than some crazy pictures. But they're not bad pictures. They're just not the best. But doom scrolling has caught me off guard. Sister Co explained it today. It's you get to scroll, and it's not bad. Maybe it's Pinterest. Maybe it's Charlie Kirk. Maybe it's just the new law that Governor Abbott's passed. But before you know it, your body is still and you've sat there quietly in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 45 minutes. You've just scrolled. And your body is relaxed, but your mind is not full of peace. And when you take away the phone and you get up and you start to go, the swirling and the whirling and the things in your mind and the grief from what's happening around you is not peace. And Sister Co and I had the conversation, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. He stole a minute. He stole a conversation with my husband. He stole a smile from my grandkids that I didn't see. He's killed an opportunity to keep me from hearing this still small voice of the Lord. Because if my mind is going so fast and there's 100 things going on, the likelihood of me feeling that gentle nudge, because the Lord is, after all, a gentleman, the likelihood of me feeling that gentle nudge of the Holy Ghost is a whole lot less likely when my mind is so full. I don't know about you, but that's where I am. And it's like I told Pastor and I were talking last night. A couple years ago, we as a church body had made some. Hey, you know what? We are understanding what YouTube can do. We're gonna shy away from that. We understand what social media can do. And then I've seen it for me gradually become a part of my life. Now I've got Facebook. The news, but it's stolen something from us. It's stolen connection with the real world. It's stolen a heartbeat for the peace of God versus just information, just something that I don't have to think about the dishes, or I don't have to think about the hurt. I don't have to think about, I'm just scrolling. And Sister Coley made a statement, it hypnotizes It just puts you into this lull. So I want to challenge you. Challenge me. I want to fight smart, Co. I need the peace of God. And this lesson, we have the book I told you about last week that is a challenge. Because you're gonna peace is not just gonna show up and pour over you. You're gonna find it when you find that time with the Lord. Right. The peace that passes all understanding is a divine promise. We can't comprehend it, but it is conditional on my relationship with Him. I can't expect the cleft in the rock to just be right beside me when I've run everywhere except where the rock was. Someone said, I've never seen a bird on a high line with his mouth open going, where's the worm, God? I'm ready. We have to seek Him. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. I have to seek Him. I have to seek His peace. I have to seek His face. I don't believe Samson would have heard the voice of the Lord calling his name if he had been so engrossed in Odyssey all night long. Samuel, sorry. I want to be intentional, Co. I want to lay aside the weight. How many of you feel closer to God today? Don't raise your hand, because I'm not going to answer it either, than you did last year. How many of you feel more peaceful because of the introduction of the internet into your home? It's not bad things. But it's the thief that has stolen connection with one another. The peace of God is so profound, it can't be understood. Christians, sometimes we can't understand. It makes absolutely no sense sometimes why we have perfect peace. The angels can't understand it. The world doesn't understand it. Who can understand God? He is the Prince of Peace after all. It's an inner calmness that's not dependent on external circumstances, but a stillness from within that only comes with communion with God. This supernatural peace allows a believer to maintain an inner calm despite external turmoil. It gives us a sense of serenity that's incomprehensible without Him. Makes no sense why a mother who's lost a child, why a man that's lost it, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. I heard a story about a man that lost his daughter to a tragic accident, and the pastor came and knocked on his door and said, you know, this is the situation. And the man looked at him and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And he stopped. And the pastor looked at him and said, finish. He said, give me a minute. Finish. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My peace is not determined by what's going on around me. My peace is determined by my relationship with the Lord, Sister Lauren. I've got to grow in that. Critically, this peace is not something separate from God himself, but it's an outflow of His presence. Just like light comes from the sun, peace comes from the very nature of God. Psalm 4 and 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For You alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety.
Have you been at night where everything is quiet and all of a sudden uneasy thoughts begin to bombard you? You want to sleep. You want to get that rest that you need. But your responsibilities and your problems begin to fill your mind. And we don't have the clocks today that they had when I was a child where you hear tick, tock, tick, tock, tick. But it's almost that all you hear in the back of your mind is everything. You can't stop the anxieties from tormenting you and keeping you awake. Those moments you would give anything for genuine soul-calming peace. And today, these troubling thoughts that come to people's minds, replayed scenarios over and over again, they go in your mind where you wish you could forget something and you just can't leave it. And you struggle with these stressful moments wondering in your mental facilities, you're going, your faculties of your mind, and you're going, God, why can't I rest? Why can't I sleep? Maybe even like the psalmist, Asaph, he said in Psalm 77, he said this, my hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. I'm so troubled that I cannot even speak. You ever been overwhelmed so bad that your body could not rest? On the night Jesus was betrayed, he said to his disciples in John 14, 27, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give. And he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Tonight the Prince of Peace is here. You can't have peace without being one with God. I'm sorry. Amen. Would you just lift your hands? I feel Jesus tonight. Jesus wants to help somebody tonight with peace. Hallelujah. Lord, would you help me with your peace tonight? God, I need you. God, I can't get it without you. I got to have you in order to have peace. I welcome your spirit. I welcome your ways, Lord, tonight. I pray tonight for your divine intervention in me, Jesus, that your sweet mercy would come in. Lord, let your presence come in tonight. God, would you, God, just reach in with your peace and joy. A peace that passes understanding. A peace, God, that calms the troubled waters. A peace that gives me what I need today. God, we welcome you. Amen. When you welcome the presence of the Lord right now with your heart. God, we welcome you. Lord, we reach to you. God, we seek you tonight, Jesus. I love it. I trust you, Lord. I want your peace. I want your peace. I want your peace. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And remember this title, peace with God is the fruit of oneness with God. If we're not one with God, if we don't commune with God, we miss something. Charles Stanley made a statement. He said, God's peace is an inner sense of contentment, quietness, regardless of life circumstances. It's steadfast confidence in our ever faithful, immutable Heavenly Father. Sometimes we sing the song, holy quietness, holy quietness. I want that peace, don't you? Amen. Peace may not be where there's just a silence, but have you ever had that holy, holy, holy presence of God step in? Last night, Brother and Sister Schubert were right in front of us talking, and Brother Schubert has told me this story many times, and We had another pastor friend that was there that he's preached for us in Central Heights, but we were there. We were eating and visiting with Brother and Sister Schubert like we do each month. And Brother Schubert was talking about seeing, and while he was in Center, Texas, pastoring, he said many times he'd walk in the church and he said there was something there in that building, the presence of an angelic being. And he said one particular night, he said, in my office, he said, something walked in the office. And he looked at me and he said, it was something real. It was something definite. And he said, without a doubt, the holy presence of the Lord's angel moved in. And when Brother Schubert mentioned this, immediately, amen, across the table from Brother Schubert, I felt something come all over me, amen, all over my being. And I told my wife and I told Brother Sister Schubert, I have felt the Holy Ghost. I felt the liberty of the Lord so strong Sunday. And I felt the Lord so genuine and so beautiful. But there was something more, amen, than what I've been feeling, amen, that stepped in that time when Brother Schubert was just talking about the presence of God. Amen, today in the sanctuary right over here, amen, I was there praying. And several times in this building, amen, I began to feel the presence of the Lord and the presence of beings in this place. Amen, nothing like the peace of God when God comes. Tonight, I want to tell you, don't be content with just having good church. Don't be content with just coming to church and just showing up. And no. I want you to make it your ambition and your objective that you come and you live. Amen, to seek the presence of God, to seek the hand of God, to seek the glory of God. Amen. You know, I want to tell you, God's so waiting for us. God's so waiting to give us things that he has for us. But he's waiting on a people to say, God, I want your peace. You can't find this and buy this in the world. It's going to come when we get one with God. And God's here tonight in this place, and God wants to step through your troubling mind, you're weary, you're the different things that are going on in your life, I just want to challenge you. I just want you to know even God is ready. There's the angels of heaven are here tonight to minister. The Bible spoke many times where he sent his ministering spirits. Amen. There was a time that we were going through something, and we were at Brother and Sister Roach's house in Breckenridge. In the middle of the night, without any invitation or anything there, amen, I woke up and standing right next to my bed within an arm's length was a being. I knew it was not a demonic spirit. I knew it wasn't something, amen, of another world, but I knew it was a holy figure and a representative of God. Oh, in a meet, I can't remember what I said. Hallelujah. And I told her when she screamed and hollered, when I said hallelujah, it scared her. And she didn't see it. But immediately, I remember all of a sudden, amen, that being just slowly vanished and went away. I'm telling you, in the presence of the Almighty God, God wants to give signs and wonders and miracles. God wants you to have peace in your life. God don't want us to be troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. He said, oh, come on. I'm telling somebody tonight, amen, the sweet glory of God wants to be in our life. But we got to seek him. We got to have a hunger for him. We got to have a hunger and a thirst for his righteousness. Amen. God wants somebody to turn their hearts to him, turn their affection on him. Amen. Would you pray tonight, right now? I want you to pray for you. God, touch my heart, touch my appetite, touch my seeking, oh God, that I would seek you. God, that I would come to you with a different manner. God, that I would trust you. I know you're here. I know you're with me at my home, God. But I pray for the power of your spirit, Lord. God, that I could recognize it. I could recognize your glory, your power. I could recognize your grace and the work of your hand. I pray that tonight, God, that even our children, Lord, could recognize it. God, that there would be a definite, that there would be an absolute and a certainty, God, that we have in our relationship with you. God, oh, bring us back to that place, God, that our mind is after you. Our heart is aware of your presence, that we're conscious of you. God, take not the Holy Spirit from us, oh Lord. God, let us feel after you and find you. God, you're near every one of us tonight. We trust you. We believe you, oh God. Teach me to acknowledge you. Teach me to live for you, oh God. Teach me to seek you with a whole heart. Hallelujah.
I'm so thankful for the presence of the Lord. Thankful for his sweetness.
Hallelujah.
There's an old song that says, Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. But if the only time that I am abiding in his presence is on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Tuesday night, then I am so missing his sweetness. How can I maintain the peace of the Lord? By abiding in him. When we have trouble come, our reaction is to scroll. Or our reaction is to ask, what did I do wrong? Or I didn't do anything. How come they have it so good? Our reaction may be, well, all this trouble, what's it going to happen to my family? But I need to back up and say, Lord, you're in control.
Yes.
I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. His banner over me is not stress. His banner over me is not trouble. His banner over me is not worry. His banner over me is love. You may start to despair. But let's back up. You need to remember, turn to the one who holds all comfort and security. No one outside of God, no one outside of God is equipped to handle our problems. And he never meant for you, Nina, to be strong on your own. Can't do it.
Say it again.
There's a story there, and I'll tell you later. No one outside of God. No one outside of God is equipped to handle your problems. And he never meant for you to be strong on your own. Regardless of how many people say, you can do it, you can make it, you got this. You are never meant to do it alone. Only God. We were all created with a healthy need for a living God. He wants you to find peace and hope and courage and strength in His Word. Because that's a promise. If I can find Him, overwhelming. And how many of you know it's more than peace? We find the contentment. Gloriana, life's hard sometimes. Life can be bad. But if I could ever get into His presence, Keenan just licked his mom's forehead. If I could ever get into the presence of the Lord. He did, I saw him. If we can get into the presence of the Lord, we're going to find out that today doesn't look quite so bad. Regardless of the things that are around us, no one outside of God can handle our problems. Life is filled with uncertainties. Every day you see the news, all the disasters. In this world, it's so unsure. What can you do to confront the feelings of anxiety that naturally come to you? What do you do?
She mentioned a while ago that regardless how many people around you tell you, oh, you could do it, you were never meant to be a self-sufficient army of one. You never were meant to be one that has all the goods. We need God, and we need each other in this hour. We need God, and we need our brothers and sisters. That's the reason why He made the church. If there's ever an hour that we need each other, it's now. That's the reason why God made a body. And when the church of the living God begins to realize that we're not a one-man show, not one of us is a one-man army, and we're not strong enough to handle what we face, we need God. Amen. The first step to recognizing that sometimes we feel anxieties and things that come our way, and to recognize anxiety for what it is. Anxiety is the opposite of peace. Anxiety is a fan that flames the fires of doubt and confusion. And when you cave into thoughts of anxiety, you lose your spiritual focus and mindset. What we're talking about tonight, the whole basic, is our spiritual focus. We need a spiritual focus. The key to overcoming anxiety is still found in the presence of God. When you start focusing on God, Isaiah 26:3 says this, there's perfect peace. I'm telling you, perfect peace, perfect peace. Now, I asked this question multiple times. Who in their right mind goes to Goodwill to buy a puzzle, multi-piece puzzle? Why don't you go to Goodwill? Madeline, why don't we go to Goodwill and buy a puzzle with all these pieces? Give me one of your reasons why you wouldn't go to Goodwill and buy a puzzle. Generally, it may be a box with somebody's played with it, and maybe their grandkids, like my grandkids, got a hold of it, and a piece is missing. I want to tell you, you were born with a missing piece. Every one of you, including me. I have a missing pieces, believe it. I have missing peace in my life. And the only thing that could fill that empty spot is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the only thing. And I can never, never, never get peace without being one with God, without Him. Many people try different things. They'll sing songs about Jesus. Even singing a song about Jesus does not make me one with God until I yield to God and surrender to God. If there's something in between me and God, if there's something damning that flow, if there's something hindering me, that's where I've got to stop and say, God, I got to move this. Please forgive me of it and get something in order. We want God to be the vacuum cleaner, the genie, the one that cleans the house. We want God to answer. God be my butler. But God said, no, I want you to take care of it. You bring it to the altar. Amen. You're responsible for your soul. You're responsible for the messy living room of your heart. Amen. God wants you to get it clean. Are you thankful that God does wash you? God does cleanse you, but you got to bring it to Him first. You got to present yourself, the Bible says, as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be shaping like the world, but be ye transformed by what? the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God, holy and perfect will of God. Amen. The Lord wants somebody tonight to have perfect peace, but you got to go to the Prince of Peace, and he has to have an opportunity to deliver your life. Amen. Oh, friend, oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we don't go to God in prayer. Hear me. Is your prayer life just a bunch of asking? Is your prayer life just a bunch of petitions? And you never take time to get one with God. Shame on us if we just go to God all because we got a problem. And we want God to be, you know, our butler. We want God to do this and do that. We want God to be our ATM machine. We want God to be, you know, oh, God, take care of this and take care. No, no. What about the time where you just say, God, I want your presence. I want your glory. Amen. Tonight, that's what God's looking for. God's looking for somebody that would let him be in their life and let him change you and who you are, and let him give you strength for that weak part of your life, that empty part of your life, that missing part of your life. You know what God's wanting? When you start focus on him, you start fearing God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom and understanding, the scripture says. Where's fear gone? You know, when I was a kid, when we went to church, we respected the house of God, the people of God, the man of God. The pulpit was sacred. The platform was sacred. And I'm telling you, we respected some things because it was the fear of God. People walk in and they would shake under the fear of God. The reason why we don't have it in this hour, because we're not one with God anymore. Our kids, they come to church, they don't even feel the presence of God no more. What's the problem? It's because we're not getting one with God. Amen. When people become one with God, they become mighty with God. God will start helping. There would be fear developed in our life again, a respect for God, a holy respect for the things of God when we get one with God. Somebody say amen.
I was, you know, a pastor always does illustrations. So I have a pastor illustration. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to tell you what I think. You know how you're at home and you have everything in your face. Maybe it's screen time, maybe it's kids, maybe it's work. And if we're not careful, we don't stop and spend time in the presence of the Lord. So we come to church, and we just think all of a sudden, all this stuff that's just distracted me all this time, that I can just lay it at the back door and walk into church, and just next thing I know it, Sister Shell, I'm in the presence of the Lord. Doesn't work that way. Unless I make time for him outside of this building, then it's harder for me to come to the presence of the Lord, come into the house of the Lord, and get lost in his presence when I haven't spent time in his presence at other times. You got to fight smart, Co. You got to be intentional. Nobody is going to make it to heaven and hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful, unless you've been good and faithful. What would you give to experience the unshakable peace of God? Are you willing to give control of your future to him and follow his plan? Are you willing to trust that he'll take care of you and meet your needs? Will you trust him in quietness, knowing he will not forget you? Will you believe in your heart that peace and his presence are sure and unmovable? Moses spoke these words to the children of Israel. He said, I'm 120 years old today. I can't do what I used to do. This is in Deuteronomy 31. The Lord said to me that I'm not even going to get to go to Jordan. But the Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy the nations before you, and ye shall dispossess them. Joshua will go, just like the Lord said, and the Lord will do to them just like he did to others. The Lord will go and destroy. The Lord will give them to you, that ye may do to them according to every commandment. Deuteronomy 31 and 6, one of my very favorite scriptures. Be strong and of good courage. Sometimes it's not easy to have courage. But he said, be strong of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not leave thee nor forsake thee. If that's not peace, Brother Jerry, I don't know what it is. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have on my side in the middle of a fight than Brother Jerry Craig. For two reasons. One, he's going to take care of it. And two, I know he's got my back. But when I think of the Lord, he's going to take care of me. There's a peace that passes understanding. David lived in a world that was anything but certain and sure. He was running for his life. He had been promised to be king, but he's hiding in caves. He's questioning, Lord, what do I do? Where am I? What's happening? But he said, in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. Until these calamities pass by, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. David fled, and he went and he said to Jonathan, what have I done? What's my iniquity? What's my sin? Your daddy's wanting to kill me. Why? What have I done? How could David write those confident words when he's hiding in a cave? He wanted to end his life. He wanted to be over. But yet he said, in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. The safest place for you to run when trials come is in the arms of the Prince of Peace. If conflict, sorrow, crisis are filling you with anxiety, allow God's peace to invade your heart. Tell him what you're feeling. Sometimes we're afraid to say, but God, I'm afraid, or I don't understand. He knows anyway. Tell him what you're feeling. He understands. He has a solution. Your peace resides in your Savior. He loves you unconditionally. John 16 and 33 said, these things I've spoken to you. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
So as you fill your mind with the things of God's holy and acceptable powers and principles, you begin to see when you start giving God focus, you start putting your mind and looking for God and seeking God, and God is in the center of your life again, you'll find that there's righteousness, there's peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. My question tonight, do you long for that deep and abiding peace? How many wants that? How many wants that assurance and that certainty? Does your soul need rest from worries that surround you? Or there's things gnawing in the back of your mind and things that are there? Your anxiety could be a telltale that your focus isn't where it should be. Instead of rejoicing in strength and wisdom and the love of God, you may have allowed your attention to be consumed by the details of all the circumstances around you. When you come to church to pray, or when you're praying, are you the one that nods and pretty soon you're not in focus? You could tell when somebody doesn't practice keeping God. There's times we come tired. I understand that. But when it's always that way, when somebody can't pray, somebody is there, after a while, you begin to recognize something is wrong in their relationship when they don't have a connection, where they always have to be lifted up and everybody has to get around them and encourage them. And would it be wonderful if we would all walk in ready instead of somebody had to pump our prime our pump? Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk in where the glory is already flowing in your life? The presence of God is already there. Tonight, God, amen, is here. We may be so busy trying to figure out things, but the only effective solution is when we open our hearts and we surrender to God. Tonight in this place, I'm going to tell you, God is equipped. Only God is equipped. Only God is equipped to handle your problems. Only God could do it. Why is it that we finally wait to the last, where everything is falling apart, that we feel we finally turn to God, when we need to seek God first? Why is God last on the list? I know people that God has become last on the list. When things are happening, they finally come to God. They try everything else. The other day I was in pain, and somebody, was my daughter, she said, Daddy, I've got some this. Why don't you take this? And I'm not condemning taking medicine, but I said, Katie, I'd rather wait. The reason why I was waiting, I was seeking for the Lord to touch me. I was giving God first. Tonight in this place, it's a lot better when we seek God first. Instead of going and popping that Tylenol, instead of looking for a medicine when we're in pain, learn to seek God first. When you go with the problems in life, instead of trying to fix it your way, do it your way, try to beat it in shape, knock it in shape, I mean, any more greater to give the battle to God. You know, David, when he came on the camp of the children of Israel, they were perplexed. Saul was a mighty warrior. He was the king of Israel. The Bible says when he was chosen, King Saul was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. Everybody came to his shoulders. He was a tall man. And here was a taller man named Goliath now that's coming against the people of God. David said, what's the deal? And when David decided, hey, if nobody else is going to do it, I'm going to do it. And they tried to talk David out of it. He said, hey, I fought the lion and the bear. He said, who is this Philistine? The battle's not mine, but it's God's. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God's in this place right now. Hallelujah. Don't you want God to light your fire inside of you? Amen. Don't you want God to give you the spirit of prayer that God wakes you up in the middle of the night and it's not a chore, but it's a joy to roll out of that bed and call Carson's name and pray, God, Carson may be hurting right now. He may be in pain right now. Or somebody else, Lord, would you pray for that? God lay somebody on you. Don't you want to be that kind of special agent that God used? Amen. Are you available? Is God one in your life? Remember, oneness with God, amen, is a result of perfect peace. Hallelujah. Would you close your eyes right now? I want the Lord to have his way.